Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. This is Bruce Norris. Once again, Tony Alvarez is here. Tony is a very successful investor, property manager, and teaches on occasion as well. Tony, welcome back.
Thank you, Bruce.
Teaching. Does that look like that's going to be a passion?
Well, you know, again, you know, it's funny, but and people are going to think I'm kissing your butt up here, but you're the first person, you know, you gave me my first shot at speaking in front of an audience. And I have to tell you, when you first asked me that a few years back, you said, you know, I'd like to invite you to do this. And would you please come and speak in front of this group? Well, I was petrified, which is usually my reaction to anything new, as everyone else would probably relate to. And I went, oh, my God, what do you want me to talk about? And you were very kind and patient with me because you kind of had already been through this. And you went, well, just tell them the truth about what you did. And I thought, okay. And that calmed me down, actually, a little bit. And I went back and I got a yellow pad, which is usually my computer, you know, and I sat in a corner for a whole weekend. And I started writing down questions. Well, what did I do? You know, how did I? Okay, I bought houses at half, 50 cents on the dollar. Okay, yeah, but everybody else did that. Okay, yeah, well, but I knew how to hire guys, and I had my own crews, and I kept my car. Yeah, but everybody else did that, too. Well, I knew how to get financing with hard money lending. Yeah, everybody else. Okay. I kept scratching it out, you know. This is all the same stuff everybody does, okay? And then I zeroed in. I kept ratcheting that down, and I zeroed in on, okay, what made me different? And then I landed on what really had done it for me. I realized that my cell phone was constantly ringing. And that had been the change. And now when I teach that, by the way, I teach it as the two levels of investing. And this is the way I've identified. As you know, I am diagnosed absolutely without a doubt. I used to say it jokingly, but I'm ADD. Okay, so I either have to be either very hyper-focused or I'm scattered.
Okay.
So I identified that what made the difference for me was when I got my phone to work like a receiver instead of a transmitter. I wasn't calling anymore. Now I'm receiving those calls. The first level of investing, when you first get into investing, it's all about you getting on the phone, you doing this, you doing that. That's all performance-based. Once you get beyond that, you snap over to relationship building. In relationship building, gets that phone to start ringing. It starts ringing in the other direction. Now there's people calling you, and they're not calling you with any deal. They're calling you with the best deals because you've developed a symbiotic relationship with them where they know they're working for you, but really because they're working for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a selfish motive, you know, in a sense.
I think we ought to build on that right there.
Sure.
Why is that a smart move on the the realtor's part to have go to investor rather than just toss it out there and take pot luck on the winning bidder, which may be higher than your number?
Well, it is most of the time, to be honest with you.
Right. Always get competitive bids that are higher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a very good question, but can be probably answered by any broker or any REO broker that's been around even 6 months, to be honest with you, because nowadays, you know, every broker is all of a sudden got REO specialist on their card.
It helps when it's 90% of the sales, by the way.
yeah, of course. But the truth of the matter is, most of the stuff on the MLS is going into escrow several times.
Yes.
And, you know, they're not closing. Here's the bottom line. I built my reputation on, first and foremost, the performance. But secondly, I built it on, here, let me give you just a few of the things. Number one, I never made an offer with an REO agent that I didn't close that escrow, okay? Mm-hmm. So the only way that escrow is not going to close when I make that offer is if I don't get the deal. So in the back of their mind, whoever I've worked with, they know this is a sure thing. This is basically a slot machine that I pulled this handle on. If I pull it, it's going to pay me. So which slot machine do you want to go to when you walk into any casino in Vegas or wherever it is? And you got a bunch of them that say, you know, here, take your chance, 50-50, one in a million, whatever. And then you got one that you go to every time, and every time you pull that handle, it pays.
Now, doesn't that empower the agent in that conversation with the asset manager.
Without a doubt. And you know, I hear a lot of times nowadays, they say, well, you know, because there's a lot of people out there trying to teach about REOs and stuff like that, and this is basically their first time in it. And I hear a lot of things being said that are partial truths, inaccurate, and based on very little experience. Maybe at the very most 2 years. Okay, which is in the REO world is a pimple on your forehead.
It also is dynamic. It changes constantly.
Without a doubt. I mean, this REO market it's got a lot of similarities as the last time around, and it has a lot of differences.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I close every deal where I make an offer as long as the offer is accepted. That's the only way I'm not going to close it. I bring back that deal to those REO agents when I'm done renting that property because I like to sell at the top of the market. I'm not one of those hold through down and turns and out. That's not going to be me. I can tell you right now.
Not this time either.
No. and I'll tell you the only thing that I may keep, and I've discussed this with Mike, there's one area in Southern California that I would like to own some rental homes on, long term. And that for me is Burbank.
Okay.
I also thought about Oxnard, but that's for selfish reasons because I'd like to have a house out there on the ocean. But other than that, I don't really want to hold too many things, that I have out in the Antelope Valley because the Antelope Valley gets hit hard. You know, if those dynamics change, then probably my decision would change. But just like you said, the whole market changes. And I understand that it's fluid. I understand that it's a moving target all the time, and that's what keeps it exciting.
Right, which is fantastic. I mean, if we wanted boring, we could go to West Virginia. Denver changes very much.
If I wanted boring, I'd take a couple of million dollars, buy some houses right now, pay them all off, and go put my butt in a chair someplace in some, place where I'm not going to do anything. And, I tried that. It's not me. You know, I had a beautiful house up in Oregon on a river. I did nothing but salmon fish. You know what? Salmon after a while, hey, I need something else. This is getting, So, but it becomes the best decision for that REO broker because he realizes first and foremost, and this is almost, a very basic thing, but I don't lie to them about anything. I refuse to lie to the folks that I'm working with. Why would I tell him something that, he calls me up, I got five deals going on, I can't take another deal right now because I just don't want to deal with that. My worker guys aren't going to get to it. The house is going to be sitting vacant. Somebody could get in there and burn it down. I don't want to deal with that. So I tell him, hey, Don, I can't take another deal right now. See if somebody else wants it, they appreciate that. They're not upset with me. They're probably a little bit uncomfortable because in their mind, it's don't do this to me. Damn it. I had it all figured out. It's supposed to, so they got to go sell it off to somebody else, but they appreciate that.
Yeah. Now let's go back one step.
Okay.
Because most people think you have to have a lot of money or something. How did you start when you bought Lancaster Palmdale? That
right.
was after a bad experience where you weren't loaded.
No, not at all. I just come out of bankruptcy. And I was, the only thing I had going for me at that time really was I had been an appraiser. So I had the knowledge of being able to figure out value. But I wasn't familiar with Palmdale. And Palmdale was, they had a good old boy system out there. And, my last name is Alvarez. I wasn't going to meet any other Cuban, REO agents or any of that nonsense. It just wasn't the case. I had to get a little creative as to how I did my business, how I got my foot in the door, so to speak. And I did not want to be doing, all the HUD offers every, week and waiting to see if I was one of the guys or one of the losers. And then, that to me seemed like a lot of wasted energy. And I'm all about efficiency. I can finish a large pizza in like 15 minutes without a problem, okay? The faster I can chew like you would not believe. So when I look at my business life, I look at it as like, I only got so much time I can invest in this. I don't have a large staff. As a matter of fact, I've always been myself and one assistant, and I've managed with one person in my office. We've managed just under 100 properties, up to just under 100. And my phone in my office doesn't ring or any of that nonsense. The only phone that rings is my cell phone, and it's a deal coming to me. It's not somebody calling me about a toilet or any of that nonsense. And I want you to know, 90% of the tenants I've had have been Section 8.
Right.
Subsidized tenants.
Yeah.
The other ones have been government subsidized because they're engineers, okay, which is a whole other segment of the marketplace, and they're wonderful to have. They pay you top dollar. So But when I went out to the Antelope Valley, I was in fact the last man on the totem pole. There is no, you know, I called someone one time, one of the top REO agents out there who I wanted to get to meet. On the phone, I said, hi, this is Tony Alvarez, and I call him about a specific property. I don't call up and say, hi, I'm an investor, I got cash, and I'm going to make your life beautiful and all this stuff. Those phone calls, by the way, in case anybody's out there doing that nonsense, they all get thrown in the trash. And if you do get a call, the only deal they're going to hand you is the one that no other real smart investor would have even bothered with. All their guys have already told them no. That's a dog property. It has no profit in it. And so they're going to call you back. You know, they're going to pick you out of the stack of 25 calls they got that day from people that they're afraid of, because that call petrifies them to death, you know. Can you imagine somebody calling up? They want you to not to go to your regular guys who you can rely on. It's a brand new person. Hi, I'm going to solve all your problems. Call me. You know, and these guys are running around today, you know, like one-armed paper hangers, whatever you want to call it. No, they're on high-powered skateboards or whatever. They can't get enough. They got 25 assistants. And some of this is an exaggeration, but, you know, I know I have one REO agent who, you know, she's got four assistants under her. Her assistants have assistants. I get to her because I have her home number and her cell phone. And she's usually calling me, get this, to find out what I think the value of this house is so that she can list it, okay? So she can go back and tell her asset manager, hey, you want to get rid of this right away, this is the target number.
Right.
Now, you know, at the same time, that gives me kind of an in to be able to say, hey, and by the way, if you decide to get it listed at that price, will you give me a call?
Right.
You know, or I tell her up front, I'm a pass on that deal. Here's the price you need to put it at to make sense of this, but I'm a pass. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. It's a weird situation, but the very first time I went out to the Antelope Valley and I called that agent, I said, it's Tony Alvarez, and, you know, would you call me back? I want some details on this house I drove by. I know it's a fixer, this and that. You know, the guy calls me back. He's on the phone. I can tell by his voice and his attitude that he's rolling his eyes around in his head, which is what they usually do when you're blah, 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 telling him your story. And, you know, I didn't get an appointment out of him. So within 2 days, I was sitting in his office at the front. And, you know, he had to see me because I was basically not going to leave till somebody saw me. Mm-hmm. And then he comes around the corner, and these are the first words that came out of his mouth. And I'm not exaggerating one bit. Wahoo! I thought you were going to be dark with kinky hair. This is what I dealt with when I first went out to the Antelope Valley. Now, that man became one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. That was a faux pas on his part. And he turned beet red. And I looked at him. I put my arm on his shoulder. And I realized I got to save this guy right now. And I said, you know, and I smiled, big smile, biggest smile I could get. I think I you could see my tonsils. I smiled so big. I said, you know, I thought you were going to look very different too. Actually, you look a lot like John Wayne. And he laughed like that. Yeah, he giggled a little bit. And he said, come on, let's go in my office. Now he's embarrassed.
How to win friends and influence people.
Yeah.
You just avoided what they call the acute angle.
Yes.
And that was very important.
He takes me now in his office. Now, do you think I could have gotten in this guy's office demanding it?
No.
Never. He would have taken me to his conference room, if anywhere, been polite to me for 5 minutes, and he would have wrote me off. Now I walk into his office. He's got pictures of his daughters, his family, his wife, you know, all the nonprofit sporting things that he does that are really what makes his heart tick.
Mm-hmm.
And guess, lo and behold, up on the wall, he donates money to the John Wayne Cancer Society, whatever it calls, and they send them a plaque. I know that because he got me to donate money to the same thing over the years, and I get a plaque and thing every year. And I happen to have picked the perfect thing to say, and I didn't have a clue, but that's who he reminded me of.
Hmm.
That man made me millions of dollars, Bruce. I mean, literally millions of dollars. When I got ready to sell out of the Antelope Valley, I also went back to him, and I said, hey, Don, remember? Here. And I dropped a bunch of listings on him, which all he had to do at that time was put them right back on the MLS.
You wouldn't have, you know, you didn't need to list them, obviously. You could have sold them yourself.
No, of course.
But you did it.
I have a broker's license, you know.
Right.
I don't, and I never represented anybody but myself. But
right.
Realistically, that's the relationship that I'm talking about. That's level two. That's where you want to get to. You're going to start in level one. And that's about you making calls and you doing the performance side of the business. But then you want to slide over to level two, and you want to do that as soon as possible. And the things that will get you there, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to go through to get there. But a lot of them, have nothing to do with all of the preconceived notions that everybody has about what you have to have and tons of this and you got to have all this money. And it's not like that at all. It's about the same things that you would require about someone when you start thinking about what school you want to put your kids in. You know, who's going to do the repairs on your automobile for your missus or your children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you looking for the cheapest deal in town? When you go buy tires for the very first car that your daughter is going to drive, are you looking to get the cheapest deal you can and, you know, cheap old tires for sale? Or are you looking to put her into a RV somewhere that comes with security guards and everything else?
When you meet somebody for the first time,
yes.
Would you say that your power of observation is very important? Observing
Absolutely.
What's going on that's unique in their life.
Yes.
And you always find a way to make a connection.
I try very hard. It usually isn't that hard because here's one tip. We're all humans.
Yeah.
I've never met an REO agent that came from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I did, it'd be probably one of the most interesting things for me because I'd be looking for a way to connect with them.
I always wanted to go to Mars.
Yeah. you know what I'm saying? I find a way, yes. And I can tell you one thing. Over the last few years, you got me curious in going to Arkansas. And that's about as close to Mars as I would want to get. No, I love Arkansas. I'm only teasing. Actually, my CPA, I ended up making relationships there in the CPA that I use, who's a specialist in working with 1031 exchanges, we've become the closest friends. But when I went to, you're going from LAX, by the way, they had a nonstop flight from LAX to Bentonville, Arkansas. If you can believe this, greatest flight on earth.
Huh.
You get off the airplane there, and there's a little guy who goes, "Welcome to Arkansas. It's so nice to see you." And I kept looking for Bill Clinton, you know. But it was a, you know, I look to connect. That man that I met there, I actually introduced him to people in his community that he wanted to meet, but that he just never had the ability to get around to it. You know, he's a very quiet, reserved man. And
like yourself.
Yeah. He actually wrote a letter for me that I have in the materials that I use in my classes where, you know, he states about what I'm really worth. And also goes on to say some things that actually, you know, kind of choke me up a little bit because he goes on to say that I'm probably the best networker that he's ever met, which I never thought of myself as that. You know?
Well, you know what's interesting? That's why you are, because it isn't what you're doing.
Yeah.
It isn't. See,
no, I agree.
That's why it's so hard. In a way, it's hard to teach. And maybe it's cultural. Alex.
Exactly.
My great friend. He's loved by people.
Right.
It's because who he is. And he's not manipulating. He's the genuine article. And people warm up to him so fast and do things for him they wouldn't consider doing for anyone else if they knew you for a year. They're doing it for him in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because he's able to garner their favor by some, I don't know. I mean, he couldn't teach it because he doesn't even know what he's doing.
No, it's about being someone. You know, I'm guilty of these last couple of years, and that has a lot to do with why I came out of hibernation, I like to call it. I think I was becoming just a little bit too self-centered. You know, I went off into the woods, and I'm there with the deer and the antelope and all this. You know, and I'm
catching
wondering,
your salmon, huh?
Yeah, you know, and I was, and it was good because it was well deserved. Okay, I wanted to take that time off, but I realized that without getting too philosophical, I'm only here for a short amount of time. And this life is about what I learn and then what I give.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And it's more about what I give. Okay? If I haven't learned anything, I really haven't earned the right to open my mouth. But once I've figured a few things out that I think could benefit somebody, then it's my responsibility to do that. And it's my responsibility also to keep telling the people that helped me along the way that I love them dearly, like you, and never stop doing that because that really is that's something that connects all of us, and when we stop doing it, there's something that falls out of place. You know, it's just like if your kids didn't tell you that. You know, we all go through times with our children where, you know, they love us to death, and then you know, when they're really little, you know, we're the thing, and then they go through their teens or whatnot, and we have a heart, we buck heads, you know, a little bit, and they may even get to dislike us somewhat, you know. And then somewhere along the line, they all come around and they come back to realizing the older they get, the wiser we look. You
mm-hmm.
know, my two parents, people ask me, who are your mentors? I have a lot of mentors, but first and foremost, my mom and dad, you know, they're at the top of that list. I learned more about love from my mom than I did the Dalai Lama, you know.
you know, that word is very interesting. I may mess it up because I just thought of it. But there was somebody asked, how do you who are the people? I am going to mess it up. Is it between like and love? He says, I like people for all different reasons. He said, people I love have a common theme. They make me laugh. And, yeah. You know, you bring that to somebody's life.
Yeah.
I think you have to be the most enjoyable person that ever gets in any office. I mean, that's a very big deal.
Yeah. Well, I say, you know, in the materials, and this is what I presented when I did the first Millionaire Maker for you. I said, you know, one of the things that I strive for is to always leave their offices leaving them with a smile.
Yeah.
And then what do? You know, I tell people, look inside of yourself, because you think you're going, oh, I'm going to learn this and then I'm going to use that. In the performance side of the business, that's very true. You know, if you don't learn what's working right now, you're going to fall on your face. But in the relationship side, you really have to take a moment and analyze yourself. What is it that makes you unique? None of us are the same. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're twins. So if your mind isn't aware that you have some unique talents that you need to really get familiar with, and then you really have to exploit those within yourself. You have to say, okay, what is it that makes me different? Why do people like me or dislike me? You know, somebody might walk in the room and go, geez, this guy's arrogant. He makes me crazy, you know.
Yeah.
I use that. And I want you to know, when I was out in the Antelope Valley, because, you know, there's a lot of REO agents now and all that kind of stuff, and I have certain opinions about that stuff too. When I was out in the Antelope Valley at the beginning, there was a bunch of REO agents, but really it honed down to the big guys. There was only five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the real heavy hitters. Like, for example, Don in his office, he's got a few hundred agents. About 2 years ago, I went into his office. He was ready to quit. He wanted out. And this guy's wealthy,
mm-hmm.
Okay? He said, I'm done with this. You know, I'm listening to these guys out there, these new asset managers. Now I got to pay for utilities, this and that. They're trying to do everything on computer. You can't get them on the phone. He said, I'm frustrated. I'm done. I'm done. I'm out of here. And look at my agents. And his office was like a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was quiet. I got up from my seat. I shut the door. I said, Don, sit down. And I got stern with him. He looked up at me and goes, what? What's a problem? I said, are you listening to yourself? You're like a whiny, crying baby.
Hmm.
And I did that to him, you know. And he looked up and goes, what? I said, really? You look at you. I said, you have more experience than any other REO broker out in this valley. You have more contacts. You know everything you need to do. The only thing is you're getting old and spoiled because of the way it was the last time around. I said, here's what you need. At the same time, you're telling me you got an office full of people out there that are basically starving to death, and you have an obligation to those people.
Mm-hmm.
You do all the training classes. There's two partners in that office. One of them does all the political stuff. He does all the training. I said, you know, you do all the training. You know how to train people, and you've always bragging to me how you're a great trainer and all that. You know what you need to do? You need to do a class and train all these people to become the REO agents just like you, and they're going to make you a fortune. About 3-4 months ago, I went into his office. I come in. He's smiling from ear to ear. He goes, sit down. Close the door. I know that's his. He goes, you realize we're the number one REO office out here? He goes, Tony, I'll make millions of dollars this year. This is nonstop. I can't. He says, look at my office. It was hopping, you know. And he looked at me and he says, and this guy welled up, you know. And this is John Wayne, by the way.
Yeah.
He looked at me. He goes, I owe that to you. Now, that was a moment in time, you know, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't stand to listen to him whine and stuff like that, because I know that's not really him.
Right.
But that conversation changed his whole financial situation.
Yeah.
And not only that.
And a few fortune of people in his office.
Without a doubt. Now, so who gets all the calls?
Point well taken. The person that provides the service.
The one who gives the most gets the most. And I think you know this as well in your own life.
Absolutely.
You know, you're up at night. I've called you sometimes. You called me, actually, sometimes. It's like midnight. And I'm like, where the hell are you? Aren't you at home sleeping? You say, no, I'm at the office working on a report. That's lunacy. But, you know, you obviously get the, yeah, exactly. And you get the benefit of that. You know, the people love you. And they love you because of all the stuff that you do.
Well, Tony, I'm sorry. We have to end on that note. People love me.
Yeah.
And they love you, too. Tony, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you, Bruce.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.